Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played Sher Lloyd, Swagger Jagger.
I love that tentative Swagger Jagger. Yeah. I love that in your voice because a lot of people are kind of like, oh, Sher Lloyd, don't you mean Swagger Jacker? Like, what's with Swagger Jagger? That doesn't make sense.
It does seem kind of made up.
It is kind of made up, and it's a very Sher Lloyd thing, I reckon. For those of you who don't know who Sher Lloyd is, try YouTubing her because she was huge last year when she broke out auditioning for X Factor in the UK. She ended up coming fourth in the competition, but for me, she's always been a favourite. So she's just unique. So I know she gets a lot of hateration in the press, but I still love her.
Well, you know, you have an affinity for people who get a lot of hateration.
And I feel that that's a Different Strokes thing, Jade. You know, like we like to play the artists that maybe people aren't getting us yet or, you know, that's the role of Different Strokes. You know, this is where camp and geek collides. We know that. You know, this is a media pop culture show. So I like to think of us as being kind of ahead of the game a little sometimes.
Well, we try.
Yeah. So speaking of being ahead of the game, I mean, tonight we're going to review Beyoncé's new album, Four.
Yeah.
I know here at Different Strokes we like to think of ourselves as maybe Michelle Williams fans.
Look, I'm a big Michelle Williams fan and I'm going to tell you I'm not impressed with Beyoncé.
You're not impressed with Beyoncé?
No.
Really, girl?
No.
I mean, the funny thing about Beyoncé is that she was supposed to take like a year off.
Yeah.
And then she shows up towards the end of the year with 72 new songs. I'm like, girl, you need to take a break from taking a break. Like, what were you doing in your time off to be recording 72 new songs?
You know, I guess when you've got as much talent as Beyoncé, you feel like you have to keep giving that gift over and over again, right?
Her talent really is the gift that keeps giving. So tonight we're going to review the new album for Jade, and we're also going to talk about a new TV show called Can of Worms. Now, it's very rare that you catch me watching Aussie TV.
I was very surprised that you wanted to talk about TV.
Well, actually, I don't watch TV full stop, so it's not like I'm discriminating against our own kind.
No.
It's just that
if it's not RuPaul's Drag Race, you're not interested.
Correct. That's exactly how it works. You know, it's very hard for me to get into TV shows because I'm just so lazy. I just can't, you know, I don't have the time to dedicate to it. But I thought we should talk about Can of Worms because it's exciting and it's new. And after this, coming right up, we're going to actually talk about hipster culture. I feel that we've maybe come time for the hipster culture to be properly addressed on our show. You know, we've kind of let it marinate for a while, haven't we?
We do talk around hipster culture a fair bit. So
we've talked around it. That's the key word, Jade. Yeah. You know, we've talked about things that hipsters like Instagram, Captain Planet. But never have we actually tackled hipster culture.
Yep.
So, you know, later Jade and I will be talking about characteristics that make a hipster. You might be able to identify with some of those traits. Who knows?
Culture, the attitudes and behavior characteristic of a particular social group.
Welcome to Different Strokes Culture.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I tell you what, Fembot Dave from the Culture intro is my favourite type of Dave.
Well, I'm glad that now that we've moved to an earlier time slot, you know, from 7 to 8, more people can appreciate my Fembot self. Because I know you're living for that intro every time.
I love it. I would do Culture segments forever just for that intro.
Just for that intro. Look, Jade, I mean, we've talked about hipstery things before. That's the thing about Different Strokes, because I feel like you and I, mm-hmm. although we don't completely identify as hipsters, mm-hmm. we are kind of hipstery.
We skirt around the edges.
Yeah, we're not full-fledged hipsters,
like,
are we?
No, we're like hipster light, or, you know, hipsters without the effort. Or,
yeah, what do you call that? But, you know, in a lot of ways, like, if you were to actually do an analysis, we are quite hipstery. So some of the characteristics includes being an early adopter of gadgetry.
Yes, I think that's probably one thing that we could both relate to.
Mm.
I mean, I mean, I'm an early adopter of everything, but, you know, I only read ebooks, you know.
You're so ahead of it.
Yeah, well, you know, I love the internet.
So, you know, the tastemaker essence is very hipster-like. So, you know, it's kind of like cool to like something before it becomes mainstream.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that with pop music.
It's quite interesting when I was reading, you know, some stuff about, oh, what is it like to be a hipster? And, you know, particularly when they start talking about music, because I think you kind of have this element of hipsteriness because of that. You listen to new or emerging music, and then it's like, oh, well, I listen to this before it was popular.
I know, and I so hate it when people do that, but I am definitely one of those people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those people that say, oh, I've been listening to Winter Gordon even way before Dirty Talk. Like, oh my God. It's so shallow, but I love it because I get to rub it in people's faces.
And what's even more interesting is when someone will come up to you, Dave, I'm so excited to tell you about this new person, and then they'll tell you the name. Ugh, I already heard of her. Like, I've got her EP from, you know, 4 years ago or whatever. Like, it's just
I know, and I try to be very polite when people do that to me, because, you know, I have a lot of friends that love pop music as much as I do. You know, they follow me on Twitter or, you know, on Facebook or whatnot, and they like to tell me about stuff, but mm-hmm. sometimes, girl, I already know.
And then do you fake surprise?
I don't fake surprise. I used to fake surprise, but mm-hmm. then nowadays I'm more like, I kind of skirt around the issue a bit. I'm like, oh, it's good, huh? Yeah.
That's why
I'm being polite.
That's why we're not good hipsters, Dave.
Why? Because a good hipster would just go, oh, girl, please. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm all over that. Like, you know,
yeah, yeah.
I heard about it when, you know, one person blogged about it on Tumblr.
And now that it's popular, I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the thing about mainstream culture and mainstream music. You know, I feel that the hipsters kind of miss out on that. Like, just because it's mainstream and just because it's, you know, all over the top 40 don't mean that you can't appreciate it. So I kind of think the hipsters are maybe a little missing out on that.
Mm. Well, you know, and probably another area where I think we can probably relate, Dave, is the hipsters' style of humour.
Oh, okay. What would that be?
Sarcasm and irony rule.
Yeah, I know, but I feel that sarcasm and irony is very much the flavour of our generation's sense of humour,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean. And you know, humour is one of those things that translates very well on TV, on sitcoms or whatnot. So you only have to watch, like, TV shows from this era or sitcoms from this era and compare it with, like, I don't know, stuff from the 80s or the 70s to know what kind of sense of humour is going on.
I mean, even if you watch, you know, the biggest sitcoms from the 90s even, you know, things like Friends versus what's on, you know, what's popular now, you definitely see that's taken over. Dave, skinny jeans. You're a lover of skinny jeans.
I am a lover of skinny jeans. I've been trying to maybe switch myself out of skinny jeans, because the thing with skinny jeans is that if you don't invest in proper care and proper quality, they will sag and they will stretch. And, you know, it makes me very unhappy when my skinny jeans aren't skinny anymore.
again, a reason why you're a bad hipster, because a key element of being a good hipster is the I can't be bothered look.
The I can't be bothered look.
Yeah, so it's like you're going to do weird layering and things that don't match. So I think in that case, if your jeans started to sag, then maybe that would be more feeding into the I can't be bothered.
You see, here's the thing about the hipster look. I really like the hipster look, you know, the flannelette shirts. Can we claim that as a hipster look?
Yeah, the, you know, the ironic style t-shirts.
Yes.
The black rimmed glasses.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So indicative of the hipster look. And what about in girls' fashion? Are we talking like vintage floral dresses?
Yes. If you've gone to have a look at your grandma's, you know, that kind of...
Anything your grandma would have worn,
yeah,
you would see on a hipster chick of 2011.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you can pick up from an op shop,
yes,
or a vintage shop. So that is like a very hipster look. I really like their sense of fashion. In fact, I wish I could have more of that kind of style because it looks eclectic and it looks different. But really, here's the thing about any subculture that says they want to be different to the mainstream. If you're going to say you're going to be different from the mainstream, but you're all dressing the same, then you're kind of defeating the purpose.
Yeah.
Aren't you? So I feel like the hipster look is not necessarily... non-mainstream, but it's its own kind of identity. Don't you reckon?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. So, I don't know. If I were to dress more hipstery, I wouldn't say I'm doing it just to be less mainstream. I'll do it to say, you know, because I like ironic t-shirts and thick-rimmed glasses, which I haven't quite done yet.
I think you've got a fake pair, don't you?
I did have a fake pair, but, you know, this was like before the hipster movement came in, Jade.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I was doing the hipster thick-rimmed glasses before it was in context.
Mm-hmm.
So no one got it. Plus, I'm Asian, so everyone just thought, you know,
I was just
born with it.
Just your regular glasses.
Okay, so Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I can count on one hand, I think, the TV shows that you watch. So I can't wait to hear what you've got to say about Can of Worms.
Oh, girl. I don't know if Can of Worms can really be counted as a TV show I watch because I'm not sure if I'm going to stick on for the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, just so we paint a proper picture of the kind of TV shows I properly watch, they include RuPaul's Drag Race, Desperate Housewives, although I've, you know, missed the last 3 or 4 seasons, so I'm not so sure anymore.
Damages.
I'm a big fan of Damages. The Good Wife.
Mm-hmm.
See, those are my kind of shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't normally do like kind of talk style TV shows. Do you know what I mean, Jade?
No.
But a lot of people have been talking about Can of Worms. It's this new Australian talk show that's hosted by Dicko and Michelle Laurie. Now, the concept of the show is quite simple. It's just that every week, these two will be joined by a panel of 3 celebrity guests. And they'll go about random discussions about... Stop, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hate. Australia is full of comedians. And, you know, comedians need to get on TV to do their things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, the comedy festival only happens like once in a year or something. So, you know, they got to do something, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the show Can of Worms is quite interesting in an essence because it's not a politics or current affairs show. It's just talking about social and cultural issues, which is something I can relate to. Because I feel that a lot of the times, Jade, when people watch Q&A or, you know, and they start tweeting about Q&A, I feel like I can't relate to it because I'm not intelligent enough in that political aspect to comment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we're talking about everyday stuff like, you know, should parents spy on their kids' internet usage or is it offensive to call someone a bogan? I can participate in discussions like that. That's the kind of stuff that people talk about at the water cooler at work, you know? It's relatable.
Here's my problem with the show, Dave.
Mm.
It doesn't talk about it intelligently.
What
it's
do you
just
mean?
Like, oh, now let's put a thing up on the board about between one and Warnie's face, how bad it is. Like, it's just so awful. I did not like it at all.
Well, it's only, I reckon it's only in its beta stages, because the first episode, which is the one that's just aired on Monday, I felt like there were a lot of bits and bobs that were a bit dodgy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like towards the end when they gave, you see, they had three guests. So there's Jason Ackermanis, popular AFL players, you know.
Do you reckon he's popular?
Well, notorious is probably the word for Acker. So they had him on, Craig from Chasers,
yeah,
and George McConroe. I hope I said her name right. Mm-hmm. She's a comedian as well. See, I like her. She seemed very likable. But so it was the weird part for me is at the end when they gave Acker a gold medal for being, you know, the one who shared the most. Why would you need to reward someone for sharing the most on a TV show that talks about general topics? Like, girl, this is not Oprah. Like, you know, this is not sharing and caring camp. Like, why? That just felt so weird.
Didn't you get like a weird, like, I don't get a good chemistry vibe between Michelle and Dicko.
It's only the first episode, Jade.
But I don't know. To me,
it looks like he's the host and she's just like the apprentice.
Like she's like the bowl lady or whatever. You know, she spins the wheel and that's all she does.
It does kind of seem that way, but I hope to see more chemistry between them because Michelle Laurie's funny.
Yeah, but that's what I don't know. Oh, it just seemed so mechanical and forced. Ugh.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character. Forget what you've heard. Go to listen to Strummy La La music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, people are sending you virtual strepsils. Craig says, hey guys, loving the new time slot. David, I hope you're feeling better. That's Craig from Point Cook. And then Tom says, can you please tell my darling, is it Khaled?
It's Khaled, I think.
Khaled, I love him. Love from Tom. P.S. David, you need a teaspoon of honey to soothe a sore throat.
Thank you so much, you guys.
And then our friend James, he says, the one hipster line I drop is, oh, you probably haven't heard of, and then insert band, website, object. It's really obscure. I lusted 5 minutes on Can of Worms and turned it off where Shane Warne's head was mentioned. It's too confused about whether it wants to be a rove segment or Q&A.
You see, I think James is on to the right thing here. There's definitely confusion
mm-hmm.
with Can of Worms there because it's still finding its feet.
Yeah.
That, for sure, it's still finding its feet. But, you know, the rove segment thing is funny because there's a certain cheesy quality about rove segments
mm-hmm.
and it definitely reeks of it.
You know what? I used to like rove back when I was on Channel 9, you know, 11 o'clock at night.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know it was... Oh, okay. So is this you trying to be your hipster self? This is Jay trying to be hipsters. I liked Rove before he went mainstream and all Channel 10. Stop it. You hipster dinosaur, stop it. In any case, look, we are going to review Beyoncé's new album. It's titled 4. Now, I have some issues with how people are reacting to this album, Jade.
Okay, Dave.
And I know you have some issues with how people are reacting to Goddess Queen Bee's mm-hmm. album as well, because you actually texted me sometime yesterday saying, oh, Dave, I'm really interested to hear what you think about this album because all the reviews I've read have been like, oh, Beyoncé takes herself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
She's Beyoncé. Of course she has to take herself seriously. When you run the world, you do. Look, Jade, I mean, I know we've said this before, that here on Different Strokes, we tend to be Michelle Williams stans.
Yes.
You know, we don't want to go for Beyoncé because she's the one that everybody loves.
Mm-hmm.
But this, to me, the album 4, feels like Beyoncé's best album to date.
Yep.
I'm a longtime Beyoncé fan, I have to say this, but never have I listened to one of her albums and thought, okay, A, I wouldn't skip a single track, and B, this sounds real and it sounds raw and I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, Jade, this is probably her least commercial record yet. I think people that pan this album or people that diss it probably just don't get it.
Okay.
Because it's really hard as a Beyoncé fan, I can understand that. Having had the last album, I Am Sasha Fierce, and the one before that, B-Day, being two of her most commercial sounding albums. You come from those two and then you listen to 4, you're going to be thinking, where's the radio ready hits? You know, where's the Sweet Dreams? Where's the Single Ladies? Where's all that? You know, but this album doesn't offer you any of that, as, you know, straight up front. I feel that this works better as an album because it's cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have the wall-to-wall hits, but it's a cohesive album. This is something you can listen to from start to finish, and it's her strongest body of work yet. It also feels like a most personal album, Jade. I mean, a lot of the songs here are talking about love and the ups and downs of a relationship. And as you know, Beyoncé doesn't really talk about her relationship in interviews or anything like that. So,
and she wrote all the songs too, so, you know.
Oh, well, I feel that you're shading. You are shading Queen B right now. I mean, everyone, it's been long said that there are some questionable things about Beyoncé's songwriting involvement. But, you know, I'll have you know
I just found it quite amusing that you're saying it seems like a very personal album, given that, you know, she perhaps, you know, put in a word or two here and there.
Oh, the song. Stop it.
How can you write a personal song if you don't write the song?
Stop it, Jay. I'll have you know, Queen Bee co-wrote and co-produced this album.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised she didn't take the photos herself.
Did she do the full press and, you know?
Yeah, she probably did. I mean, why not? She's Beyoncé. She runs everything, okay? So just stop hating. Look, for me, this album is not her most immediate album yet, but you got to look at it from the point of view, you guys. You got to look at it as a soul album.
Mm-hmm.
Sonically, it sounds like a retro soul record at parts. I mean, it kind of references like Jackson 5 and maybe 70s and 90s R&B music. So it doesn't sound like anything that's happening on the top 40 right now, which is interesting because I never really saw Beyoncé's music as revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never got that vibe from Beyoncé. I never thought that she could make a record like that. But this is the first album where I thought, damn, she's taking risk. She's being bold. So, you know, you got to award that. Some highlights on Beyoncé's full album for me include School in Life, which is his track that sounds very Prince-esque. Another track called End of Time, which I hope will be a single. It's very kind of retro R&B-ish, kind of takes you back to Africa a little.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this ballad called I Was Here. Now, this is that one song Beyoncé didn't write on the album.
Uh-huh.
Or co-write. Stop shading. Stop shading.
No.
Now, you know, I Was Here was actually written by Diane Warren, who's, you know, this famous songwriter who's done hits for, like, Toni Braxton, Celine Dion, etc.
Mm-hmm.
This is a career-defining ballad. Like, this is the kind of ballad you would imagine Beyoncé singing when she's, like, 60 on her last world tour ever. You know, looking back on her life, it's just epic.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.